Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, Verse Number 19. Ramana Uchu Partha Prajavita Sakshad Ikshvakur Iva Manava Brahmanya Satya Sandascha Ramodasaratir Yata. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The learned Brahmana said, O son of Prita, this child shall be exactly like King Ikshvaku, son of Manu, in maintaining all those who are born. And as for following the Brahminical principles, especially in being true to his promise, he shall be exactly like Lord Rama, the personality Godhead, the son of Maharaj Dasaratha. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. Praja means the living being who has taken his birth in the material world. Actually, the living being has no birth and no death. But because of his separation from the service of the Lord and due to his desire to lord it over the material nature, he is offered a suitable body to satisfy his material desires. In doing so, one becomes conditioned by the laws of material nature, and the material body is changed in terms of his own work. The living entity thus transmigrates from one body to another in 8,400,000 species of life. But due to his being the part and parcel of the Lord, he not only is maintained with all necessities of life by the Lord, but also is protected by the Lord and his representatives, the saintly kings. These saintly kings give protection to all the prajas, or the living beings, to live and fulfill their terms of imprisonment. Maharaj Parikshit was actually an ideal saintly king because while touring his kingdom, he happened to see a poor cow was about to be killed by a the personified Kali, whom he at once took to task as a murderer. This means that even the animals were given protection by the saintly administrators, not from any sentimental point of view, but because those who have taken their birth in the material world have the right to live. And what's important here is, he said, sentimental point of view. You know, sometimes people say, oh, what a pretty cat that is. Oh, don't kill it. You know, that's, okay, there's some compassion there, but it's more sentimental than anything else. The person doesn't realize that the pretty cat has a soul, right? And the soul is eternal, and the soul has a right to be protected. All the saintly kings, beginning, well, of course, they don't say, oh, what a pretty little cow, don't kill that. They think the cow is their food, and the putty cat is their best friend, or the dog is the best friend. So there's a lot of sentimentality involved in false compassion. Just like once a year on Turkey Day, Thanksgiving, they bring a turkey to the White House. And the President of the United States, whether it's Obama or Shabama or the Obama or whatever, they say, oh, well, we'll not kill this one. Right? But yet, they kill 60 million turkeys to feed everybody on Thanksgiving. So it's all sentimental. It has nothing to do with reality. All the saintly kings, beginning from the king of the sun globe down to the king of the earth, are so inclined by the influence of the Vedic literatures. So inclined in what way? To protect the people. To protect the prajas, not only human beings, but everyone. The Vedic literatures are taught in higher planets also, as there is reference in the Bhagavad Gita 4.1. Yes, that's an important verse also. 4.1. Evam parampara praptam evam rajasa yo vidu sakalina mahata yugarasta parantapa. Is that the first one? No, that's the second one. First one is imam vivasvate yogam proktavam aham avyayam vivaswan manave prahur manur ikswakave bravit. The personality of God, as Lord Sri Krishna said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivaswan. And Vivaswan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind. And Manu, in turn, instructed it to Ikshvaku, the first king of the earth in the sun dynasty. The Vedic literatures are taught in higher planets also, as there is reference in Bhagavad Gita 4.1 about the teachings to the sun god, Vivaswan, by the Lord. And such lessons are transferred by disciplic succession as it was done by the sun god to his son Manu, and from Manu to Maharaj Ikshvaku. There are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma, and the Manu referred to herein is the seventh Manu, who is one of the Prajapatis, those who create progeny, and he is the son of the sun god. He is known as Vaivaswata Manu. He has 10 sons, and Maharaj Ikshvaku is one of them. Maharaj Ikshvaku also learned bhakti yoga as taught in the Bhagavad Gita from his father, Manu, who got it from his father, the sun god. Later on, the teaching of Bhagavad Gita came down by disciplic succession from Maharaj Ikshvaku, but in course of time, the chain was broken by unscrupulous persons. Well, if you're scrupulous, you follow rules and regulations. Unscrupulous means you don't follow rules and regulations, and you don't keep your word. You give a promise and don't keep it. Just like the promise, I will follow the four regulative principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. But yet, do everyone follow them? If you don't follow them, you are unscrupulous. If you follow them, you are scrupulous. So the chain of disciplic succession is broken by unscrupulous persons, and therefore it again had to be taught to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So all the Vedic literatures are current from the very beginning of creation of the material world, and thus the Vedic literatures are known as apurusheya, not made by man. So see, this is real history. It's not this phony nonsense that they teach in school, or there are no living entities on other planets. Only the Earth has living entities, you know. And we just found out that there's no water on Mars, and if there is water on Jupiter, it's frozen. And you know, they come up with these crazy ideas. And Bhagavad Gita was spoken to the sun god. That's like at least 140 million years, 120 million years ago, at least. So what history do they know? You read their history books, it's all about, as Prabhupada said yesterday, lust and greed. That's all it's all about. This king attacked that king, this horde of Mongolians attacked Baghdad in the 7th century. All about attacks and slaughters and rapes and things like that. It's and cheating and lying. In fact, yesterday what Prabhupada said was amazing. He said, in the modern setup of the democratic states, the people themselves are fallen to the qualities of the sudras or less. And the government is run by their representative, who is ignorant of the scriptural mode of administrative education. Thus, the whole atmosphere is surcharged with sudra qualities manifested by lust and avarice or greed. Such administrators quarrel every day among themselves. Oh, yeah, just read the newspaper. Every day they're quarreling. Pelosi is quarreling with Trump. Trump is quarreling with this one. The other one is quarreling with that one. You know, it's all, this is, Prabhupada wrote this maybe 50 years ago, and the Bhagavatam was written 5,000 years ago and spoken much before, well, spoken earlier, and people act as if, you know, this is the normal thing, this arguing and bickering. The such ministers quarrel every day among themselves. The cabinet ministers charges, the cabinet of ministers charges often, changes often due to party and group selfishness. Yes, Trump's administration, it changes all the time. All these administrations, they're changing them all the time. Everyone wants to exploit the state resources till he dies. That's another true thing. They all die with their boots on. That's a saying. You know, a soldier dies with his boots on. So do senators and House of Representatives and politicians, unless they're thrown out of office violently. Everyone wants to exploit the state resources till he dies. No one retires from political life unless forced to do so. There it is right there. How can such low-grade men do good to the people? The result is corruption, intrigue, and hypocrisy. Thus, they should learn from the Srimad Bhagavatam how ideal the administrators must be before they can be given charge of different posts. See? So, Prabhupada got it exactly right. The Vedic knowledge was spoken by the Lord and first heard by Brahma, the first created living being within the universe. And now, there's a description of these different transcendental personalities. Maharaj Ikshvaku, one of the sons of Vaivaswata Manu. He had 100 sons. He prohibited meat eating. His son, Susada, became the next king after his death. So he was a real king. He prohibited meat eating. Manu. See, they even were eating meat then. See. The Manu mentioned in this verse is the father of Ikshvaku. The Manu mentioned in this verse as the father of Ikshvaku is the seventh Manu of the name Vaivaswata Manu, the son of the sun god Vivaswan, to whom Lord Krishna instructed the teachings of Bhagavad Gita prior to his teaching them to Arjuna. Mankind is the descendant of Manu. This Vaivaswata Manu had 10 sons, namely Ikshvaku, Nabaga, Drista, Satyati, Narishyanta, Nabaga, Drista, Karusha, Prasadra, and Vasuman. The Lord's incarnation, Matsya, the gigantic fish, was advented during the beginning of Vaivaswata Manu's reign. He learned the principles of Bhagavad Gita from his father, Vivaswan, the sun god, and he re-instructed the same to his son, Maharaj Ikshvaku. In the beginning of the Treta Yuga, the sun god instructed devotional service to Manu. So beginning of Treta Yuga, so there's approximately 400,000 years in Kali Yuga and approximately 800,000 years in Dwapara Yuga. So that's why we said the Bhagavad Gita was first instructed to Vivaswan 120 million years ago. This is the confirmation of it here. And Manu, in his turn, instructed it to Ikshvaku for the welfare of the whole human society. So Ikshvaku heard from Manu 2,500,000 years ago. That's explained in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Lord Rama, the Supreme Personality of God incarnated himself as Sri Rama, accepting the sonhood of his pure devotee, Maharaj Dasaratha. And the king of Ayodhya. Lord Rama descended along with his plenary portions, and all of them appeared as younger brothers. In the month of Chaitra, on the ninth day of the growing moon in the Treta Yuga, the Lord appeared as usual to establish the principles of religion and to annihilate the disturbing elements. When he was just a young boy, he helped the great sage Viswamitra by killing Subahu and striking Maricha, the sea demon who was disturbing the sages in their daily discharge of duties. The Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are meant to cooperate for the welfare of the mass of people. The Brahmana sages endeavor to enlighten the people in perfect knowledge, and the Kshatriyas are meant for their protection. Lord Ramachandra is the ideal king for maintaining and protecting the highest culture of humanity known as Brahmanya Dharma. And hence, he enhances the prosperity of the world. He rewarded the administrative demigods by effective weapons to conquer the demons through the agency of Viswamitra. He was present in the bow sacrifice of King Janaka, and by breaking the invincible bow of Shiva, he married Sita Devi, daughter of Maharaj Ikshvaku. After his marriage, he accepted exile in the forest for 14 years by the order of his father, Maharaj Dasaratha. To help the administration of the demigods, he killed 14,000 demons. And by the intrigues of the demons, his wife Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravana. He made friendship with Sugriva, who was helped by the Lord to kill Vali, brother of Sugriva. By the help of Lord Rama, Sugriva became the king of the Vanaras, a race of gorillas. Doesn't say monkeys, says gorillas. Gorillas are big monkeys, really big. The Lord built a floating bridge of stones in the Indian Ocean and reached Lanka, the kingdom of Ravana, who had kidnapped Sita. Later on, Ravana was killed by him, and Ravana's brother Vibhishan was installed on the throne of Lanka. Vibhishan was one of the brothers of Ravana, a demon, but Lord Rama made him immortal by his blessings. On the expiry of 14 years, after settling the affairs at Lanka, the Lord came back to his kingdom, Ayodhya, by Flower Plain. He instructed his brother Shatrughna to attack Lavanasura, who reigned in Mathura, and the demon was killed. He performed 10 Ashwamedha sacrifices, and later on he disappeared while taking a bath in the river Sarayu. The great epic Ramayana is the history of Lord Rama's activities in the world, and the authoritative Ramayana was written by the great poet Valmiki. Gaur Premanandi Haribo. Are there any questions? These are wonderful purports by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Samanta Bhaktaya Swamitaya Namastaya Saraswati. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.